Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 1. Mahi patistvata itat karma gardiham vichintayana atmakritam sudurmana aho maya nichama nariya vatkritam niragasi brahmani guda tejasi Sutta Goswami said, Mahi Patihi, the king, to but, atta, thus, while coming back home, tat, that, karma, act, gardiyam, abominable, vichintayan, thus thinking, atmakritam, done by himself. Sudurmanaha, very much depressed. Aho, alas, maya, by me. Nicham, heinous. Anarya, uncivilized. But, like, kritam, done. Niragasi, unto one who is faultless. Brahmani, unto a Brahmana. Guda, grave. Tejasi, unto the powerful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Suta Goswami said, while returning home, the king, Maharaj Parikshit, felt that the act he had committed against the faultless and powerful Brahmana was heinous and uncivilized. Consequently, he was distressed. Purport. The pious king regretted his accidental and improper treatment of the powerful Brahmana, who was faultless. Such repentance is natural for a good man like the king, and such repentance delivers a devotee from all kinds of sins accidentally committed. The devotees are naturally faultless. Accidental sins committed by a devotee are sincerely regretted, and by the grace of the Lord, all sins unwillingly committed by a devotee are burnt in the fire of repentance. So this is the natural mood of a Vaishnava. Does not like to cause harm to another living entity, neither willfully or unintentionally. And as soon as he recognizes that he has caused some harm to another, he immediately feels regretful. The opposite of this mentality is a selfish person. A selfish person cares for no other person other than himself. And therefore harms so many other living beings. To be a selfless worker, to be a servant, means to serve others. To be selfish means to try and arrange for others to serve oneself. So this is the material condition that we believe that happiness derives from being served, instead of recognizing that our constitutional position to be as a servant. And the best service, the most perfect the most perfect expression of service is to serve a perfect person. So no one can be more perfect than the supremely perfect personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is complete in all opulences and is therefore most worthy of respect and worship. At the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira, Krishna was selected to be the person who should be worshipped. He was considered to be the best of all persons assembled for this great event. And there were so many great personalities brought from all over the universe. But amongst them, Krishna shone out, just like the moon among so many stars. So it is not an arbitrary decision on our parts to decide to worship Krishna. Rather, we accept the conclusion of Vedic Shastra that of all the personalities, of all the great personalities in existence, no one is greater than Krishna. And Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, no one is equal to me. No one is superior to me. In fact, he says, everything is depending upon me. So it is not a sentiment that we worship Krishna. Even amongst the expansions of the Godhead, Krishna is considered to be the best of all. He is the complete expression of all the qualities that God has. There is, in Nectar of Devotion, 64 qualities of the Supreme Lord, and even Lord Narayan and Vishnu only possess 60 of these qualities. But Krishna has control of all 64 opulences. They serve him just like maidservants. So what Lord Brahma concluded when he said, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Lord Brahma is the most knowledgeable person about this universe. He is the engineer of the universe. And he declares that I worship Govinda. Govinda he calls the primeval Lord, the source of everything. Anadir Adir Govinda. Sarvakarana Karana. A devotee wants to serve, not to be served. And therefore Maharaj Parikshit regretted that when he was out hunting and he became thirsty, he demanded service from the sage. And the sage is faultless. He was deeply steeped in meditation. He was not recognizing Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't know that anyone came into his hermitage. Certainly he would have put aside his meditation to offer service to the king, but he was not aware of it. So his neglect of the king, who was thirsty at the time, was totally unconscious and faultless. And note that the king, the Brahmin is stated to be very powerful. And this is something that is different than what we understand nowadays to be strength. Now, some person who has brute force, you know, a powerful fighter or boxer, or even a nation which has so many armaments and is economically advanced, is considered to be powerful. But in those days, this Brahma Tejas, the strength or power of a Brahmin, was his tapasya, his austerity. And we see that the entire human society was meant for this purpose. It is stated that human beings are meant to perform austerity. It is said that austerity is the wealth of the renounced order. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is meant for Vairagya Vidya. It is meant for renunciation. And therefore austerities are voluntarily accepted. What type of austerity? Not unnecessarily taxing the body or straining the body, but as it is described, these four austerities: to renounce eating meat, fish, and eggs, to renounce intoxication of any type, to renounce gambling, to renounce illicit sex. These four austerities are primary austerities in the Kali Yuga. And the austerity of the tongue, to constantly engage it in chanting Hare Krishna and in respecting Krishna Prasada. And of course there are other austerities. Austerity of the mind means always to think of Krishna. Austerity of the body is to always engage the body in the service of the Lord. We can go on how each thing is connected. The principle of austerity is it should bring you closer to Krishna. If austerity does not do that, it will do the opposite. It will harden your heart. If the purpose of austerity is to gain some recognition or to gain some material benefit, then that means that your heart is becoming hardened to the real goal of life, which is to surrender to Krishna, to do Krishna bhakti. So we have to judge the value of austerity by whether or not it promotes Krishna consciousness. In fact, we should judge everything on this point. Am I becoming more Krishna conscious? So Maharaj Parikshit felt himself to be at fault. And again, to emphasize, this is how we should see our own condition. When we have some disagreement or misunderstanding, it's very easy to point out the fault of others. If something goes wrong, we can say, so-and-so is to blame, so-and-so is to blame, so-and-so is to blame. And who is the last person we blame? Ourselves. But a Vaishnava blames himself, or herself, thinks, first of all, I'm at fault. And with that type of mood, then one can make progress in spiritual life. If we always think I'm faultless, then there's no possibility of advancement. So, Maharaj Parikshit did not consider the Brahmin at fault, considered himself at fault, and why will be described in the next verse. Dhruvam tato me krita deva helanat duratyayam vyasanam natindirgat tarastu kamam hiyagaha niskritaya me yatana kuryan puna eva maddaha. King Parikshit thought, due to my neglecting the injunctions of the Supreme Lord, I must certainly expect some difficulty to overcome me in the near future. I now desire without reservation that the calamity come now, for in this way I may be freed of the sinful action and not commit such an offense again. Purport by Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord enjoins that brahmanas and cows must be given all protection. The Lord is himself very much inclined to do good to brahmins and cows. Go brahmana hitaya cha. Maharaj Parikshit knew all of this, and thus he concluded that his insulting a powerful Brahmin was certainly to be punished by the laws of the Lord, and he was expecting something very difficult in the very near future. He therefore desired the imminent calamity to fall on him and not on his family members. A man's personal misconduct affects all his family members. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit desired the calamity to fall on him alone. By suffering personally, he would be restrained from future sins, and at the same time, the sin which he had committed would be counteracted so that his descendants would not suffer. That is the way of a responsible devotee thinks. The family members of a devotee also share the effects of a devotee's service unto the Lord. Maharaj Prahlad saved his demon father by his personal devotional service. A devotee's son in the family is the greatest boon or blessing of the Lord. So he knows, this king does know, that what is the consequence of sinful activity? Sinful activity does not stop there. And today, in the present world, people do not believe in this principle of karma. You see? For example, in some religions, they'll say that we are suffering for the original sin committed by someone else. We call them Adam or Eve or whatever. And we are now having to suffer. But our philosophy is something different. We say that we are suffering due to our own, the reactions to our own sinful deeds. And we cannot blame others. We cannot blame others, although there is some sense to the fact that what we are suffering is also the result of other people's suffering, but it is also the consequence of our own suffering. It is simultaneously both. Just like if my forefathers have done something, then I will suffer the result. But I take my birth in that family because of some sins which I have personally committed. So it's not that, you know, you're being punished by being born into a family where there is sin. You were born into that family for a particular reason. People cannot therefore blame fate. Fate simply means the unseen hand of the Lord rewarding the results of karma. Fate is not arbitrary. You cannot blame God. Just like nowadays, sometimes people blame God or they don't believe at all in God. And they think that they can do, jolly well whatever they want. And that there will be no consequence. Who will see me? People commit so many crimes, sins, thinking, who will see me? But the Bhagavatam tells who will see you. The sun will see, the moon will see, the stars will see, the air will see, the fire will see. So many will see. And the demigods see through these elements. So you are being observed. And ultimately you are being seen even in the core of your heart. Your very thoughts are heard or seen by the Paramatma Lord. Now there is no escaping. And therefore we better correct our ways. Not that we should correct our method of sinning so that no one will observe it. Because you can't do that. All that you can possibly do is correct your sinful nature. I say correct your sinful nature because if the nature is sinful, the sin will be committed. Sooner or later. Therefore, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to change one's nature. And how do we do that? By good association. Everything depends on association. Birds of a feather flock together. If you associate with criminals, the chances are you will become criminal. If you associate with saintly persons, there's every reason to believe that you will become saintly. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness depends on this. It is a society, international society, not individual Krishna consciousness, society for Krishna consciousness. Because through association we become strong. One stick can be broken. Many sticks become very firm and strong, put together, bundled up. So our consciousness will become strong when we associate together. But we don't always take that opportunity. So often I remind you that you are living in close proximity with so many devotees. If you don't avail yourself of this association, what a great loss. It is a great loss. We can, if we just learn to perform yoga, yoga means to regulate your senses, your mind, your body. So, the morning program begins here at 4:30. So you can get, if you want, you can get up early, you just gotta go to sleep early. People don't need so much sleep, 5 hours, 5.5 hours. 6 hours, maybe if you're younger, you might require 7 hours. I remember when I was in India with Prabhupada in 1970, I was about 24 at the time. And Prabhupada said, okay, you can sleep 7 hours. So maybe if you're less than 20, you could sleep 8 hours. How many hours do you girls sleep from the ashram? Yes. How many hours? Huh? 7 hours? Very good. So that means you only need 7 hours. Little children can sleep more. But 7 hours is sufficient. So, if you have to get up at 4, what time do you have to go to bed? 9 o'clock. And if we try our best to regulate ourselves, well, then that's yoga. And you can say, well, I'm a grihasta. I don't have to do all these things. Or, well, I'm still young enough. I'm only 45 or 50. I'll do it when I get older, when I have less responsibilities. Well, maybe you will and maybe you won't. We have to try to regulate ourselves. This is religious life. Nowadays religion has become so watered down. People just go to church or a temple once a week and hear a sermon. It has to be more than that. It has to be sadhana. Our religion teaches that by our effort, not only by mercy, not only by some descending mercy, also by effort, we will promote ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So, the program Prabhupada established is a guaranteed program, and Prabhupada has said it many times. If we will just go through the program, from Mangal Arati to its conclusion, the result is guaranteed. And if you don't, if you start to omit things, well, I can't go to Mangal Arati, well, I can't chant my rounds so well, I have a lot of things to do at that time, I'll make them up later, well, I really can't afford this thing and that thing, and then you start to remove so many parts of the morning program, you have to consider, how is my Krishna consciousness? What is the goal? The goal is not only to benefit yourself, but to benefit others. Look at Maharaj Pariksit. He immediately says, let the reaction come on me. Now, when we commit a sinful activity, do we say, let the reaction, we keep thinking, how can I avoid the sinful reaction? He didn't do that. He said, I know there's going to be a reaction. I mean, I don't think anyone sitting here could possibly believe that they're as pious as Maharaj Pariksit. I think if, we put our piety together, all of us sitting in this room, and magnified 1,000,000 times, we still can't equal Maharaj Pariksit's piety. And I'm not exaggerating that. And look, he still got a reaction. He still got a reaction. So how can you possibly think, being as, impious as all of us are, that when we commit sins, there will not be a reaction? There will be a reaction. What may be the reaction? Your bhakti may go down. Your enthusiasm for bhakti may become reduced. What could be a worse reaction? You're always thinking, well, nothing happened to me. I didn't, cut my finger when I was opening this bottle, or, so it must be okay, or I didn't trip here and do, why does it have to come physically? Why do you think that the reaction must come physically? Worse than physical reaction is spiritual. Diminishment. What if the reaction for, just like he felt, he offended a Brahmin, what if your reaction for committing some aparad, Vaishnava aparad, is that your devotion becomes weakened? Your desire to chant Hare Krishna, your ability to hear Krishna's name becomes reduced. Can you think of a worse reaction? If the means of deliverance is to chant the holy names, and you start to lose your taste for chanting, can you imagine a worse reaction? I was once chanting so many rounds, now I don't chant as many rounds. I just don't feel interested. Well, why do you think that is? Why did you lose your interest? Did it just wither away for no reason? Use your brain. It comes from reactions. The holy name is Krishna. So Krishna doesn't want to be on the tongue of someone who at the same time is talking so many nonsense things. So Krishna just says, I'm not going to go there. And suddenly your desire to chant Hare Krishna dries up. Or your desire to be with the devotees. You feel like, oh, I don't want to be with the devotees. I just, they're no fun. They don't do anything that's fun. What's the use of being with devotees? I want to be with, people who have fun, who are always smiling. Well, so Maharaj Pariksit thought that I'm not going to try to avoid the reaction. If I avoid the reaction, what's going to happen? It'll just come to me in my next life. Worse still, it'll come to those who are my descendants or my family members. We don't realize that whatever we do affects our family members. You also can't avoid that. Just like if you have a cold, the chances are that the others in your house may also catch cold. Well, if you have a worse disease than a cold called Maya, do you think that your family members aren't going to catch it? They're not going to contact that disease? Or your friends will not contact that disease, or your descendants, you see? You have children, and they have their children. Did you know, as Maharaj Pariksit here is calculating, Why should this go on my descendants? What kind of a person will I be? A forefather will I be? Just like if a man dies or a family dies, I don't know anymore if the debts go on the children. Probably not. I don't know what the law is today. But that certainly was the law. I remember when Prabhupada was leaving this world, and we had one doctor, and Prabhupada told me, make sure that you pay him. And that wasn't, he didn't mean pay him in his lifetime. Prabhupada knew he was leaving his body. He told me, make sure you pay him. He didn't want any debt. Prabhupada even gave me payment. Because I was serving him as a secretary, somehow Prabhupada said, I want to give you some money. You and the person, Upendra, who was serving as his body servant at the time, said, I want to give you each some money. I said, I don't want any money. I'm not doing this to get paid. He said, I know that, but my Guru Maharaj did the same for his secretary and servant. Because of the nature of the service that you're doing, I feel, you know, indebted. So I said, I don't see how I can accept this money. And he said, take it as a donation. Anyway, what I did is when I got the money, I kept it in a bank account. And then when they opened up Prabhupada's Samadhi, I used the money to pay for garlands for Prabhupada for a certain amount of time until all the money was exhausted. Because I thought, I'm never going to spend this money on anything but Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada's money. But Prabhupada's point was that you have to clear your debts. We are all deeply indebted in so many ways. And so, you know, a person becomes responsible in both before for the forefathers, the parents, the grandparents, the teachers, the demigods, society in general, and becomes responsible in the other direction. We're pinned. We are heavily indebted and responsible. And human life means a life where you can fulfill your responsibilities. This is the great shame of today's world, is it's not teaching people how to fulfill their responsibilities. They're teaching irresponsible life, withering away, frittering away one's time and energy in unimportant activities. No, it is very important. We must train ourselves and train those who are dependent upon us to be Krishna conscious. And even if it means accepting some austerity. What does the austerity Maharaj accept? Parikshit accepted death. Pretty heavy. He said, let the reaction come. What was the reaction? To die. Can you imagine if you make a mistake, are you prepared to take on such a heavy thing? Let it come that way. So we have to think very, very carefully about our actions. And if we do something, we must be responsible for it, as Maharaj Pritchard was willing to be. I'll stop here and ask if anyone has any comments or questions. Yes, Kunti.
It's a very useful analogy of contagion spreading the Maya within the temple. It's also other theories about health. Like health is also the how you eat and how you live your life. So can we say that Maya is actually an individual problem more than just collective or contagious?
Well, why don't you say it's both? I said it was both. I said we have to personally keep ourselves fit or in Krishna consciousness. It's both. You get affected by your own negligence and weakness, and you get affected by others. Both. No question about that. You get surrounded by people who are in Maya, it's going to be a lot harder to be Krishna conscious, even if you make the effort. So you can't say that we're not affected by others. Another question? Yes, Pujab.
Srila Gurudeva, I've read in Prabhupada's books that the spiritual master suffers for the sins committed by his disciples.
Yeah.
So if your disciples fall into Maya somehow, rather the spiritual master has to take some of that reaction.
Well, I never think that I'm suffering for their sins. I have enough of my own. At least I think like that. But it does say that way in scripture, and Prabhupada said that. It is said that the spiritual master may have to undergo some illness or have some bad dreams on account of the sins of the disciples. Therefore, Prabhupada said that if one is a guru, he should be certain that he can digest the karma and not get indigestion from it. Therefore, a guru should be strict with the disciples for his own good and their good. Prabhupada said that the more one chastises a disciple, the better the disciple will be. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Yes.
So therefore we should desire to always be corrected and chastised by the spiritual masters so that our unrighteousness can be removed.
But we should not make foolish mistakes purposely to get chastised, but we should certainly recognize when chastisement comes that this is a great kindness upon me by my guru. If a disciple takes the right has the right attitude when he's being corrected or chastised, he makes so much advancement. Prabhupada said that when his Guru Maharaj corrected him, he thought it was the best blessing of all. And when his Guru Maharaj praised him, he didn't think it was as good. So if someone really, therefore we see it, Dvaitacharya tried to do something in order to get Lord Chaitanya to chastise him. Because when someone chastises you, it means they accept responsibility for you. If they don't chastise you, it means they're neglecting you. That's much worse. If you make a blunder and the person ignores it, that means that they're not responsible for you. But if they correct it, it means they care about you. Now we should not be so proud that the guru fears that if I correct this person, they'll go away. Then you miss out on so much advantage of having the benefit of being corrected by the guru. But we should not intentionally do wrong things just to become corrected, thinking, well, look, Advaitacharya preached Mayavad philosophy just so he could get that mercy from Lord Chaitanya. Let me do some nonsense just so I can get some mercy. Well, that would be foolish. Another question? Yes. What does it mean to be? To be the servant of the servant? Well, two things come to my mind. One is that one should try to understand what the service of one's master is, and as far as possible try to assist. And the second thing is that one should be satisfied to do whatever service is assigned to one by the master, irregardless of what it is. We hear that one should be prepared to execute devotional service just as if it is coming as a military order. In the military, sometimes one gets a order, you know, to go to such and such place and fight. And one may or may not like that, but really one has no choice. Of course, we should come to the point of liking to do whatever we're asked to do. Unconditional. Ahoituki, apratihata. It should be actually unconditional. Sometimes we think, I'd like to be a pujari, or I'd like to be a sankirtan devotee, or I'd like to eat lots of prasadam. We think so many things. But actually we should like to do what Guru and Krishna ask us to do. If we're fortunate enough that we are asked by our spiritual master to do a specific service, we should consider that a great opportunity for advancement. Not everyone has that fortune to be directed personally by the spiritual master. Therefore it is said that there are general instructions and specific instructions. If one gets a specific instruction, then they should consider that very, very special. Just like I remember, one of the first services Prabhupada gave me is he wanted these branches from the neem tree. Well, it was from a eucalyptus tree, because he would use that for his toothbrushes. So every day, you know, I would go into the park and, you know, get on a tree and take these branches down. And then I would cut them just to the right size and put them in some paper and moist paper and send them to wherever Prabhupada was. And I thought, oh, this is very, such a nice thing. And just little services like this, so many little services. We don't realize how valuable our small services performed to the spiritual master or to Vaishnavas. Just like sincerely offering obeisances, sincerely offering prayers, or doing any small service is appreciated. You know, what did Narada Muni and his mother do during the 4 months of the rainy season? Very menial services, cleaning pots. What did Narada Muni do? As a young boy, he couldn't do very much. He probably, you know, it says he took a little remnant from the food left by these saintly persons. Now, I mean, that hardly seems like service. We would hardly think of that as service, respecting a few remnants of food. But that was sufficient to promote Narada Muni to the position that he presently occupies. So servant of the servant means that you have a master. When we went once with, we were at San Francisco Ratha Yatra, and Prabhupada was talking about the guru-disciple relationship, and then he went like this. He took out his neck beads and he held them up and he said, this is our dog tag. This means that I am not a street dog, that I have a master. So, what does it mean to be, you know, the servant of servant? It means to think I am simply the dog of my master. I have a master. I am no longer free to do whatever and what, you know, whenever, to do whatever I like whenever I like it. I have to act under disciplinary vow. Every moment of my life belongs to my spiritual master, or at least it belongs to Krishna, guided by my guru. And I can't be in Maya anymore. So it is a very serious step to take initiation. Now, after taking initiation, sometimes we become weak and we don't recognize, we don't remember what the real meaning of disciple is. But it is a very, you know, hefty responsibility not to be in Maya. Another question? Yes.
I don't remember the whole pastime exactly. There's an instance in the Bhagavatam where King Indra commits some sinful activity and then he distributes the reactions. Is there any benefit to that? Because he didn't want to accept the sins for some reason.
Well, one thing that comes to my mind is that we can't imitate great personalities. You can't imitate Indra. Indra may have the ability to distribute these sinful reactions, but what is your ability? Indra can say, you know, these sinful reactions will come on trees, will come on women, will come on this, will come on that. But, you know, you can say it, but let's see if it happens. You know, you do some nonsense and say, I hereby bequeath the reactions to this nonsense to my wife, my daughter, and all the guests in the restaurant. You have to see if that happens. And whether the guests keep, you know, the guests may stop coming, that would be the reaction. We're not in the position of Indra. We're not powerful controllers. Therefore, we can't judge these powerful controllers. This question was raised by Maharaj Pariksit to Sukadeva Goswami in regard to Krishna's activity with the gopis. Because Maharaj Pariksit knew that in the future persons would criticize Krishna for dancing with the gopis. So Maharaj Pariksit asked, how can he dance with someone else's wives? And Sukadeva Goswami said that even in regard to great personalities. He quoted a statement which says that great personalities cannot be judged like ordinary humans. They're above such judgment. What to speak of the Supreme Lord? So the same point. We cannot judge them as we judge ourselves. All right. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for your attention. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi.